You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
All right, let me open it up for questions, comments, reflections. It's just on 1 o'clock. Yep. If you've been to a wedding, you've been to Corinthians. And if you know. It's an interesting dynamic. Jesus actually, when he talks about, this is kind of filler, well, I think about that some more. But Jesus, when he actually talks about in the New Testament about how we should relate to God, he doesn't use the language of love so much as trust. And so it springs from a confidence in his character that you trust on, rely on him, because I think it's because he's primarily the one who loves you. And I think that's a little bit of what's going on in Corinthians, if I can remember correctly. Sorry? It says, that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So I think he's saying, I think that's coming to the end of the ages, and what will be wrapped up, hope will be wrapped up, because those who've trusted in Jesus will have him and have God. So hope is looking forward to what you don't yet have. That won't be needed. Trust, that'll be all wrapped up, because you now have God, you're in his presence. So trust is all wrapped up. But love will remain, because it's actually at the very center of who God is. And so in the world to come, the promise is that love will be at the center of it. I think that's what's going on there. Go for it. Yeah, love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, and so it's the thing that is catching on, this idea that you can see the wrong done to you and forgive it. And forgiveness in itself actually is not saying there was no wrong. The very act of forgiveness is saying there was a wrong, but I choose to overlook it. And I think that springs from, I guess, from the other idea that we can do that because God will bring justice. I think the reason, it's a good question. Is cover the same as forgive? Well, it's not quite the same, but I think it's in that same idea that you don't let it sit at the forefront of the relationship. You don't let it always shape things, but you actually kind of look past it, which I think by our own power is pretty much impossible. Yeah. Other questions or comments? Yeah, that's the point I guess I was trying to bring at the end of with love your enemies. Hopefully, you know, those that you love are not your enemies. But that because there's that constant failure in human love, that actually to know that you're loved and to know that you're not needing to be loved by another person in order to reciprocate, but actually knowing that you're loved by your Creator puts you in that place where you can give out love even when it's costly. So I think it affects all dynamics, not just between husband, wife, or partners, but it's the fuel for loving children. It's the fuel for loving strangers, because that reciprocity is taken out of it. That it's no longer I love in order to be loved, but I am loved, and so I'm freed up to love. So I think it massively changes the dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's crippling us because we live in an age of self-fulfillment and my freedom. And so therefore, I'm always searching to have my needs met. Whereas love is actually the opposite. It's looking to fulfill the other person's needs. But when you're constantly in the relationship looking for your needs met, you think of your own weaknesses. Is that someone else going to fail? Of course they are. And so you no longer feel loved. You no longer feel content. You no longer feel happy. And so then you look in other places for fulfillment. And that doesn't work either. Whereas the answer is actually, this dynamic is to change. Instead of be looking to be loved, is to be the person who loves. Now that fails. It does fail because you might be the person who does love and you never love back in a relationship. Does that mean you should look elsewhere? Well, I actually think it's only by the sustaining power of God that you could endure that. I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying it's simple. Yeah, but I think that's where love your enemies is a word to husbands and wives. And my tongue is only half in my cheek. Yeah. Is that enough of an answer? Yeah. Other questions, comments, reflections? Yeah, I think that's part of it, but I think also it's interesting that sacrificial picture of love that I touched on actually shows that love is not, when we think of Hallmark cards and February the 14th and stuff, there's such a reductionistic view of love that's the problem. I went to Adelaide last week, and just on the north edge of the Adelaide CBD, there's this massive monument to the First World War. It's amazing. And on one side, it's got this angel and these people looking up to the angel inside. And underneath the bottom, it's got the names of all these people who came from Adelaide who were killed in World War I. And underneath it has the word sacrifice. And it's actually picking up with this idea that true love is so costly that it will actually go out of its way even when it leads to difficulty and hardship and hurt for you. And so that's way past romantic love, isn't it? But love is so strong that it actually leads to saying to someone, you're wrong. It cares enough to say, you're wrong. That's not right. That's not the way to conduct yourself. So love in the Bible sense is a really strong, robust, kind of powerful thing that's transformative. It's not a kind of, and it's not even always accepting. So let me touch on this in the Old Testament. People look at the Old Testament and look at the anger of God and say, oh, God's vindictive. Actually, it's because he loves so much. If you read enough of the Old Testament, you see that the way people have treated each other, and God eventually says, enough! I cannot let you treat those people like that any longer. And in love, he acts to protect the widow and the vulnerable and the poor and the underprivileged. His love is so great that it brings justice. So actually, one of the things we need to develop is a more robust, deeper, richer understanding of love, more powerful understanding of love, to actually work out where those tension points are.
Money.
Yeah, that I think that's actually a helpful point to finish, because in the sense that true love leads to action, doesn't it? It's not just a feeling, but it actually springs out in trying to restore relationships, fix up wrongs, repair damage. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much for coming. We've got